is so great to be in the fellowship of the saints tonight. And it just felt like one of them nights to start off with just a runaway. Amen. But I guess not yet. So we're going to have to say something. And I trust the Lord will get in this meeting and will bless hearts and lives in a way that they'll never get over it. Amen. And I do appreciate the Lord. I should have came up yesterday and got a little relaxation, but I was gone last week, so I had to punch the clock and do some things yesterday. And I'll tell you, I think it's getting farther than it was, seemed like. And aches and pains and creaking around. Would have been a wonderful night for a shout, run away. Yeah, right. Wouldn't it? Ain't it something how you can't program it? Huh? But I got this on my heart tonight. I want to thank you for the invitation and the confidence in your precious friendship through the years. And it's good to see all the preachers, full house here tonight, and just a wonderful spirit in here tonight. I like that song. Amen. I don't know, brother, did you write that song? Huh? You could have, couldn't you? Huh? Right. All you needed was the words. You could have wrote that. I could have wrote that song. Huh? Tell the devil. I've said some stuff like that. It never got it in the right rhythm. But I've said some stuff like that. Now tell the devil I ain't coming. You know, sometimes they say not to talk to the devil, and it's not a real good practice. But when he's the only one close by and you're busting to say something, you know, I found myself, you know, talking to him. There's times he's told me how low down I was and how bad off I was and how I wasn't going to make it and how I'd never be the same. And I done told myself that all morning long, you know, and so I just said, amen, devil, God bless his heart, you know, until I realized who the rascal was. It was amen of me over there in the corner. And I can remember telling the devil, look, buddy, amen. I remember one time I was praying in the church and I needed to get a hold of God. And he was just right there around the altar, whispering around and saying, you ain't going to make it. I'm going to get you. You ever have a devil tell you in a way that I'm going to get you? Do you think if he could, he already would? He's just lying to you. Huh? And he said, but I remember telling him that day, I said, devil, you may do it, but you'll have to drag me off of this altar right here. And you know, I just felt something go out of him when I said that. And next time he said, I'm going to get you, it seemed like it was off a little farther off. Amen. Well, I like to tell the devil tonight, amen, that I ain't going to hell. By the grace of God, we ain't a-going. And I'll tell you, when you say, by the grace of God, that's not a shaky little hope-so deal. Brother, woo, you can stand on the grace of God and tell the devil, I ain't going. Hallelujah. Can't you do it? I've got something on tonight. Can I go ahead and apologize and get that over with? This ain't going to be what it ought to be. But what I'm going to give you tonight is probably more than a sermon. I'm going to try to transfer a feeling to you. That sounds a little charismatic, don't it? But just hang on now. It's not really a charismatic feeling that I'm feeling. But it's kind of a... it's just kind of I don't know how to describe it. It was just something come on me just the other day, driving up the road. And it just got in me and it amazed me. I was so glad it did too. And I don't know when it come on me, I kind of gritted my teeth a little. And just it was almost a growl come out of me. Now I know you think, what in the world? I mean, it was just a, and I know, I'll explain myself here in a minute. This don't need to go on the tape, this first 30 minutes, okay? I'll let you know. No, I'm just kidding, brother. It may never be worth anything. Might as well go for it. I was coming up the road, and I'm gonna read some scripture here, because I got to go get my Bible when the Lord, I felt this. Did you ever get a sermon and run to get the Bible hoping there was a scripture to go with it? Huh? Y'all never did? Come on, raise your right hand, repeat, huh? Come on. Yeah. Well, it wasn't really hard to find a scripture for what I was feeling. And I want you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. And there's one verse there, part of a verse I want to read. And then I'm going to turn on over to the book of Joel and read another verse there. And like I said, I'm just going to tell you, it won't take long. And it's not profound. It's really simple, even for me. It's pretty simple. But really, I was coming up the road. I'd been dealing with some stuff that, brother, it was just horrendous. And I tried, you know, how you get in a situation where it takes wisdom, and that was a class that you laid out of that day, you know, and you couldn't find all you needed. You needed right words, and you couldn't find the words. You look at people's lives that were just ripped and strewn every which way, knowing who did it, you know. And I was driving and leaving that, and the phone rang. Isn't it something how progress has just about killed us? And there that cell phone rang, and here's a problem. And man, I was feeling whooped nearly. I just felt, Brother Jeff, I'll be honest with you. I was just feeling just a sense of hopelessness come over me. What in the world can we do here? Well, I got another call and another something, and I seen who it was. It was the devil. I could see it. And you know, all of a sudden, I just felt something come in that truck and just surround me and got in me. And it was just, it was like the spirit of resolve that come in my soul. And I tell you what, you say, well, what in the world? I don't know if I can even explain it to you or not. Amen. But I'll tell you what, when the Lord got through with me right there, I'll tell you what I felt like doing. I felt like fighting. Huh? Now I may not preach tonight, but if I could just make you mad enough to fight, huh? Now I don't mean mad, just mad. Now if we just want to gouge, eye gouge and hair pull, these folks are just waiting to do that since the last board meeting. No, I'm just kidding. Huh? No, I'm not talking about that kind. But brother, there's a war on. Somebody say amen. And I'll tell you what. Hey man, all of a sudden, and it hadn't changed. I didn't feel no stronger. I hadn't figured out how to do it. Hey man, but I just, there's something that got down in me and stood up, praise God. And I said, I'm going to fight. And I told the devil right then, I said, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Hey man, but we're going to be fighting you. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now I'm in this house, and I got this, and the burden came on me about this. And of course, it's not hard to find scripture anywhere nearly in the Bible. Cause this book, amen, and God's people have a history. Amen. I've been R.C. Campbell's book, The Militant. How is that? What's the name of that? I wish I'd come early enough to dug that out of there. Amen. The Militant Christianity. How many knows what militant means? I'll tell you, we're living in a generation of passiveness. And I know we'll get our mind, because we're in two or three wars right now. And I know I don't want our mind to stray too far over on that, but I'm telling you, amen, all through the Bible, amen, we see that God's men all through the Bible, amen, were valiant fighting men. It was even incredible to me how that God, when he gave them the promised land flowing with milk and honey, and somehow another, whoever wrote it down, forgot one important thing that follows the honey. Giants, amen. A land flowing with milk and honey and giants. Amen. Sometimes you think that a Christian life is just milk. You drink enough. You have pearly white teeth and honey, and they rot right out of your head. Amen. Come on now. But brother, a Christian Christian life is more than milk and honey. Amen. Come on now. Amen. There's a fight to fight and a land to conquer, and we're in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Stay with me now. This won't take long now if you're planning on taking a nap. You're going to miss it all. Listen to this. I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Lord, I need your help. Somebody tell the Lord right now that I really need his help, will you? Praise God. Ask him to help me. Amen. The Bible says to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A season and a time. A time, a season and a time. And I take that to mean that there is a season that comes, and when it's not abnormal, it's not unexpected, it's the season for it. And there's a time for everything. And then it goes to time to live and die. But the one verse that I want to point out, and you know, I guess where I'm going now. Amen. But it says there is a time, amen, in verse 8, there's a time of war. Amen. There's a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war. Amen. I want to preach tonight, amen, about this. I don't know what to title this sermon, but I wonder if we realize that the season is upon us. It is a time to war. Oh, come on now. Amen. You say, preacher, I will tell us something else. I'll tell you what happened to us. Amen. If we don't understand, it's time to war. Amen. We'll get passive. We'll get lax. Amen. Come on. And there's just too much at stake in this house tonight. Oh, somebody say amen. I want to read you one more verse here. And here's where I want to look at in Joel chapter 3. This may be a little out of context, whatever that means exactly. It's probably going to be that. But listen to this right here. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Oh, come on now. Wake up the mighty men. Amen. That's what I want to preach. And I'll tell you, we're standing among some mighty people right here in this house tonight. And I'm glad to be alive in this day right here. Amen. But listen, amen. I feel that we need to acknowledge and wake up to the fact. What did it say? Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares. I know this is talking about a distinct day. Amen. But beat your plowshares into sword and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. That's kind of what I felt the other day coming down the road. I was feeling so weak, and all of a sudden I felt the Spirit of God that gave me a resolve. Amen. And I felt it say, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Come on. Amen. There's a battle to fight. Amen. This Bible to cover is a battle of wars and warriors. Come on now. Men like Abraham, who was the father of the faithful, was a mighty warrior and a soldier that rescued Lot with the men that were raised in his own household. Amen. That were mighty warriors. Moses, a mighty warrior. Are you listening to me? Joshua, a mighty warrior for God. Amen. Elijah, a mighty warrior for God. And on and on and on. David, a mighty warrior for God. Amen. I want to tell you something. Amen. It is a time for war. If we don't learn to fight, if we don't feel the need to fight, if we don't get that passion, that zeal to fight back in our lives again. Come on now. Amen. We will lose to the enemy. Hallelujah. Oh, I know this is simple. I know it is. Amen. But I want us tonight, and I try to let the Lord, I tell you, my heart goes out to people in this hour that we live. Amen. The battle, you know, you say, well, what makes it a time of war?
What makes it a season of war? Huh? I'll tell you what. When David, and you know the story, when David came to see his brethren, amen, and Goliath, it came out, amen, with a challenge from the enemy. Amen, you may not want war. You may not have volunteered. But when the enemy challenges you and puts an ultimatum on the table, amen, you don't have a choice of fight or surrender. And I'll tell you what I'm feeling in my heart. Amen, as a preacher here tonight, many people would rather give up and surrender and let it go as to fight. I'm tired of broken lives. Amen. I'm tired of the devil coming in and taking our children out of the house of God. I'm tired, amen, of God's name cursed and drug in the mud. But brother, I'll need a revival. I need a revival that'll wake up the mighty. Amen. It's laying in this weak heart of mine. It's a time of war because of the hour we live, of the divine providence of God. It is a time of war. It's a time of war because the enemy sees that the day is short and he's running out of time. Brother, he's declared war on every preacher, no matter how small or how great, how long you've been in it. Brother, I've wept over those patriarchs, amen, that went down. Amen. Come on. Oh, I wish I was a preacher tonight. I know this is not pleasant, amen, but I'm not trying to call you, amen, to a dance party. I'm trying to call you to a war. Amen. It's all on. Amen. And we must engage the enemy. Stay with me now. I'm going to preach to you just a little while tonight. Amen. The time of war. Amen. The time of war. Amen. Call. Wake. Wake the mighty men. I was preaching last week at Blue Springs. One morning before I got up to preach, I looked out over that crowd and, you know, and the building was, there's a good number there, you know. And I looked at all the people and the preachers that dropped in. And I looked at those that were sitting there listening to me preach and others preach. And I looked, and I mentioned this in the service. If you're there, you remembered what I was trying to drive at. How many people was affected. And Brother Benny, I preach, and you've got a wonderful church here. And I really, to be honest with you, I come usually in camp meeting, and I don't know who the primary targets are here tonight. Hey, man, who goes to church here? I got a pretty good idea. A lot of these people, the vast majority of them, hey, man, but this is also good for the visitors. Hey, man, and whoever else. Hey, man, but I'll tell you, so many times I'm preaching, and I look out over a crowd, and I hate to say this, amen, but I climbed out of the prayer closet with the devil hanging on my back and bombarding my mind, and I'm just, amen, going, begging God to help me keep my train of thought till I can get in the pulpit, maybe hadn't ate a meal or two in a while, and look out over that audience, amen, and they're filing their nails, amen, and I don't know what else, they're sending text messages. Amen. Clipping their nails. Amen. Looking at the clock. Yawning. Amen. Drawing in their books. And I'm not trying to be mean tonight. You don't have to try when you're a preacher. You just meddle naturally. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to tell you here tonight. Amen. You need to wake up. Some of you remind me. Amen. Of Virginia history. And the Battle of Bull Run. The first Battle of Bull Run. Amen. They went out and the ladies brought their parasols and their picnic baskets and they got in the wagon and they went out to watch the skirmish.
And brother, when the blood began to fill that river, that creek full of red blood, amen, and the bombs were bursting, they throwed their parasols in the air, they left their basket down. Amen, I want to tell you, I wish God would send us a revival and wake up the mighty. Amen, and say war is on. I know you're mighty people. You live holiness. You live right. Amen, you're sanctified. But you forgot we're in a war. Hallelujah. It's time to rise up. It's time to wake up. Amen, and realize we're in war. And there's a lot at stake. Hallelujah.
Oh, what are the terms of the warfare? Here's what Goliath said. He said, listen, send me out a man to fight. If I kill him. Now, I want you to ponder this over just a minute. I wish I could preach better to you. Amen. I want you to ponder this over. Send me out a man to fight. If I kill him. If you lose the battle. Huh? Then you shall be our servants. Now let me ask you, what would that consist of? What if the Al-Qaeda, amen, came to our president and said, we're going to have a contest. And if I win, then your children and your wives will be my servants. Now, I don't have to go into any other, amen, information to let you know, amen, those stakes are pretty high. Amen, I want to ask you something tonight. Amen, is your freedom, amen, worth fighting for? Oh, come on now. What do you mean our freedom? I'm talking about the freedom, amen, that David had to consider. Being in a servitude, amen, to a heathen enemy all the rest of the days of his life. And David was just a little teenage boy. But brother, there was something in him that stood up. Amen. Similar to that feeling I felt the other day. Amen. When I was weak and frail. But I felt that get up. And I hear David get up. And he says, hey, amen, this ought not be. This ought not go on. The stakes are too high. It's time to fight. Hallelujah.
Oh, I wish I was a preacher right here. I want to ask you, are the stakes high? Are they high? What if we do lose this battle?
I feel like that little boy I read about, Brother Benny, years ago when he was poor. His dad was gone. His mother tried to raise him. His little sister needed a pair of shoes, and you probably read the illustration. And the little boy sold newspapers. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he got a nickel, amen, for the paper. And he got down and he counted his money, and a holiday was coming up. I don't remember if it's her birthday or Christmas. But he was wanting to get a pair of shoes for his barefoot sister that was so ashamed of being having no shoes. And he said, if I sell every paper I have, I'll have just enough to buy those shoes and make my sister happy. And so he sold all but one. He liked one more paper. He come up to this businessman and he said, hey man, little boy, how much your paper? Oh, it's a nickel, sir. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take this nickel and I'll flip it in the air. Heads, amen, I give you the nickel for the paper, but tails, you just give me the paper free. And the little boy thought about it for a minute, amen, and he said, no, sir. And he said, what do you mean, no, sir? He said, sir, I can't afford to lose. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're gambling with our lives. We're gambling with the battle we're in. Amen. But listen, we as a holiness people, we cannot afford to lose this war. Amen. It's time. I do it every Sunday morning. I try to wake up the mighty. I do it every Sunday night. I try to wake up the mighty. I'm trying to wake you up tonight. I help you realize it's a time of war. It's time to wake up. Amen. And fight the good fight of faith. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not something to fight for? See, not only did David realize the personal consequence of losing, But he realized the national consequence of losing. And I think of Nehemiah when he built the wall and the enemy came. And he had a very strategic maneuver. He put those people on the wall with their families. Come on now. Oh, I wish I could preach to you. I know this is boring you to tears. Amen, but I'm preaching you what you need to hear tonight. I remember when I may have told this before. I can't remember. Amen, but when Isaac was my youngest boy, was just maybe 5 years old, and we were praying about starting a camp, youth camp. And so it fell my lot to get up and take the pledges to buy the lamb, and I don't like that. You know, I've been sitting back out and overhear people. You know, I heard that one woman say, "I wish I left my pocketbook in the car." Huh? Yeah. So they asked me to take the pledges up, and so I said, "I'll pray about it." Well, you know, I've learned better than that now. There's no need to pray about taking an offering up. People don't want to give; they're not going to hurt themselves now. But I prayed, "Lord, amen, how are we going to do this? I prayed a while. I fell asleep that night and had a dream. And in the dream, I was putting on armor. And I could hear the enemy trampling, marching across the horizon as they come up over the rise. Couldn't see them yet, but I could hear them. And so I thought I had time. So I went ahead. I put my breastplate on and my shield and got everything ready and got my weapon on and everything. And so as they topped over the rise, I saw them coming, and I was ready, Brother Jeff. You remember those days. And I started out into the battle. Something hit me right in the knees, and I panicked. And I looked down, and there was my little five-year-old boy standing there on the battlefield looking up at me, not a helmet on, not a piece of armor on. And I said to him, "What are you doing here?" And then the Lord broke in, and he said, "He's in the battle too." Amen. Come on now. Brother, it didn't take me long to take an offering, $25,000 that Friday, that Thursday night. Amen. To buy the first piece of property. Amen. I want to tell you something. Amen. Sometimes I think we forget we're in a battle, and we're not alone. Our children are in the battle too. I wish I could preach to you tonight. I'd say, wake up the mighty. Wake up that mighty mother. Wake up that mighty father. Wake up that dad that's worked so much overtime. He can't stay awake in church. Wake him up, Lord, and help him tell his boy. Help him tell his girl. Put the armor on. We're in the war. What are the terms? I appreciate the time. What about the terms? I win. I want to tell the devil I can't afford to lose. I'm not going to gamble with this. Come on now. Somebody say amen. David, of course, you know the story. He defeated the giant. Years later, he went out as an older man in the battle. Those giants, his offspring. Here's what I want us to understand. And we have had great heritage. But, brother, the war did not end, amen, when our heritage was buried. How many understands what I'm preaching about? Amen, I'm going to tell you. I tell you my burden for this meeting right here. And there's no need. I'm telling you, you've got the best preacher. Amen. I don't know how you could do any better. Huh? That's right. And I'm not bucking to preach this meeting anymore. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, you don't need, but I'll tell you what you do need. You need to wake up. Somebody help me here. I didn't have time to look into this. But when that one king arose, destroyed all the seed, royal seed, but they hid the one young boy. Was it Josiah? Amen. They hid the one young king. Amen. And when they finally brought him out, amen, they commanded all the mighty warriors to stand by him with sword drawn. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'll tell you what. There are some things worth protecting with our sword drawn. Where is your sword, by the way?
I wish I was a preacher. Amen. David went out into battle and the giant began to defeat him. You say, I don't understand that. Amen. I don't try. But I know he was growing waxing faint in the battle. The giant, amen, the lineage of the Goliath, amen, was defeating an elder David. And he started getting weak. And a man by the name of Abishai, amen, run to his side. Amen. Thank God, amen, for us, Abishai, that had a sword. Praise God, amen. And he ran and killed the giant, and he said, David, go not out again, lest the light in Israel be quenched. I wonder tonight if we love this light enough to fight. Somebody say amen. Oh, I wonder if we love the light enough to fight. Oh, praise God, amen. It's time for war. There's a lot at stake. Amen. The light is shining. Let's fight to preserve the light.
Hallelujah. Like I said, you know, I know a lot of these guys in here. I know a lot of our preaching friends. I got preaching friends. Did I really... Well, I'm getting too close here. But you're going to know exactly who I'm talking about. I've got preacher friends, if I'm going through something being done wrong, and if I tell them, I can hear the sword come out of the sheath on the phone. Whoosh. And you know, in one way, there's a lot of folks in here from Kentucky and in the mountains and migrated in here, hadn't they? Huh? And there's a lot of folks, the Indiana folks, mountain men down in Virginia, Brother Jeff. You know how they are in that country where we was raised. Man, I'm telling you, you talk about a rumble. They loved it. Huh? They're like our little grandson, Tom, mine and Brother Bob and Sister Tish's little grandson, old Tom. He's inside, hard-headed, takes out after one of his grandparents. We had a little gathering of the young people at the house, you know, and old Tom was there and a bunch of little boys around, and they went to, you know, hitting him, Brother Bob, and I seen that big old smile come on his face when they jostled him up. I said, they don't know. This is his favorite thing to do. Well, he drugged two of them by their, had little hoods on. He drug them on the floor. He drug them by the hoods. He's just a little guy, you know. But he likes that kind of a rowdy play, you know. Huh? And, you know, I've seen people in church like that. Boy, if there's a good rumble, they're all ready to go. Amen. Thumb in the eye, gouging, pulling hair. Amen. Knee to the small of the back, brother. They've got it all down. But you see, this warfare is not carnal. I heard some of you drop right there. You mean, what do you mean? For, how does it say it? It's, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Boy, I hear y'all quitting me right now. Oh, man, let me get him. No. I think we've got this all wrong. Am I doing any good, Brother Sutherland? Huh? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are. I said we're in a war. Sister, you know we are. We're in a war for our very soul. We're in a war for our very mind. We're in a war for our very integrity. Amen. The devil is constantly trying to get something on you. But really all you need, amen, come on now. Amen. We must fight, amen, this good fight of faith. Amen. Paul said it at the end. Amen. That's the only thing he could boast of. He said, I'm a chief of sinners. I speak as a fool.
But when it was all over, he said, but I did fight a good fight. Oh, somebody say amen. I want to tell you tonight, we need a revival right here. Amen. In Dayton, Ohio, we need to wake the mighty and whet your sword one more time.
They took the armor of David. If I remember, I hadn't read it today. But didn't they take the armor of David and put it in the house of God, kind of as a museum? That's the way I looked at it. Put it on the wall. But when trouble came, the priest went in and got that armor off the wall. I'm telling you. Listen, can I tell you? I'm threatening you. Can I go home through with you? I've heard Brother Benny, and I'm just telling you. That's the way I feel like saying it. But I've heard him preach. Now I'm telling you, he can tighten her down till it squeaks, till you squeak, till I squeak. But you know something? If you don't go and take that armor off the wall. Oh, you love to come in and say, oh, I go to Brother Benny's. Buddy, he can bust hides with the best of them. He can tighten her down. He is a great preacher. Amen. I'm not ashamed of him. You ever have him stand at the door, Brother Benny, and say, I appreciate what you stand for. Now, I don't know what you feel about that, but I always wonder, what are you standing for that makes you want to say you appreciate what I stand for? Why don't you say, I appreciate what we stand for? Oh, somebody said. One man said, preach a little more, I'm going to do it. Huh? We're in the battle of our lives. You know, my younger brother, Kevin, he's 37, I believe. He joined the National Guard. He went to the military school in South Carolina, graduated there when he was, you know, college age. Always loved the military. And when the war in Iraq, you know, broke out, he couldn't stand it. He's married and got two little kids. And I know it's really a burden on him now. But he joined about 3 years ago. And they told him when he went for basic training, they said, son, you've got 100% chance of being deployed before your time is up. And you know they were right. He's being processed right now to go to Afghanistan at the end of the year for the year. Oh, it's a burden. And now I talked to him on the phone. I try to call him. I'll be honest with you. You know, now he looks at it and he's had two children born in that time, and he thinks, man, what have I, you know, I mean, he's not said that, but I can tell it's a burden on him. Amen. But you know, I think it's a very courageous thing that he's getting ready to do. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, now you can say and feel ever how you want to feel about it, but you know, it's not near as hard for us to sit here and think, well, maybe we ought not, maybe we ought to, and just kind of scratch our head. But I'm going to tell you, if you were over there, and some of you women were in those places where being attacked and molested, like, are you listening to me? And you say, well, I wouldn't want that right here. And I wouldn't either. Would you? Huh? And so I look at my brother that's getting ready to go to war. What a sacrifice, Brother Bill and your son and others. What a sacrifice that they have made, amen, to keep us free. And that's really not what I'm preaching about here tonight that much, because the war I'm talking about is so much more and so much above, amen, but the need and the correlation is kind of the same, amen. We can fold our hands and say our little church or our big church or our church will always go on like it is, and we never worry about fighting or picking up, amen, a sword of the Spirit or going to a prayer closet and praying through for our pastor or for somebody in the church.
that has got down and brokenhearted. Are you listening to me? Amen. Oh, listen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Put on that shield of faith. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. We fight and fuss about living right when living right is the fight. Are you listening to me? That's what it's all about. It's living above sin, living sanctified, being faithful to God, having the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's worth fighting for.
I wish I could preach to you tonight. Wake up the mighty. Let's have revival. I tell you, you go and you travel, and Brother Benny, you've done it for years. You know, you go from one and you're coming, Lord willing, in October. We're going to try to be ready, and we're going to break out and have revival. Because I'm done preaching. I'm going to talk to you a few more minutes. But there was a man started coming to our church. You probably haven't been there since Johnny Yates got saved, and him and his wife, and started coming to the church. And his dad was a sinner man, and he got diagnosed with cancer. And they told him he just had a little while to live, and he called and wanted me to come to his house, and some of us come. And so I went up there, and I went in and talked to him. He'd already prayed through. He knew he was gone, and he'd already got, I could tell when I walked in, that he was already weeping, crying, and praising the Lord. Wanted to be baptized, wasn't able to be baptized, really. I this is probably wrong, but I kind of tried to talk him into waiting until he felt better. Had oxygen on, just gasping for breath, had lung cancer. And he said, I'm going to be baptized, but I have to crawl in that river. We baptized out in the river behind the church. He said, I'm going to be baptized, but I have to crawl in there. Well, if he was going to crawl in there, I was going to walk in there. You know what I mean? And I went in, we baptized him. He lived two more weeks. He passed away. Had his funeral Sunday. But he called me back after we baptized him. He said, I want you to come up to the house again. Or his wife did. And we went up there to all his family, up in them old mountains. If you've never been in the mountains back in there like that, there's just a group of people in there that's just unique. I'm telling you. I love them. They're my people. I just love them. I went in there, and up on that old rickety porch. And then people come out of that hill from everywhere. I know they all were probably, most of them were alcoholics or drug addicts, or they really were, Brother Roger. I know them. They was well known in that holler. And here they came out around that deck on that house, opened the doors, and I preached the gospel to them. I preached about that scripture where it said, that scripture that says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live or die, just as long as, you know, God gets the glory. And I was preaching all that. I watched them people. I got to go to that funeral and preach to them. He got up on his feet that last time I saw him. He wanted to get up on his feet. He motioned me over and he whispered right in my ear. Said, I want you to preach my funeral. I'm not going to make it. So I want you to preach my funeral. And he said, I want you to preach to my family about getting ready to meet God. Well, God already unctionized me to do that years ago, you know. And so that was just another little confirmation. So I got to preach twice to them. Amen. Friday night viewing. That in the mountains, Brother Collins, you know how it is. They want preaching down there. I don't care the hardcore sinners. They want preaching and singing. And I just let her fly. I preached the gospel to them that Sunday morning. I was so tired. I'd been preaching at work. I was so numb. But brother, amen, when I got to preaching about where Paul said, I am now ready. Praise God. And I got to preaching about, amen, old John getting ready to meet God and how it takes to get ready. I felt that unction come on me again. And you know what? Amen, brother. Hey, Richie, I want to go to war. Amen. I knew that stinking devil, amen, was around there somewhere, had a grip on them people's lives, but I wasn't without a weapon. I pulled that sword out. I went to slashing and slaying. Somebody say amen. I still believe we can have revival. I believe we can fill up his pews. I believe we can still have revival across the nation. Amen. You say we're in the end time. But it's not the end of the Holy Ghost. It's not the end of the blood. It's not the end of the gospel. And we can have revival. But somebody has got to wake the mighty. Oh, I'm done. I'm done. We've had some wonderful meetings here. We're on the verge of another one right here. Amen.
Seen people pray that it's still here, still doing great. God's good. I like this city right here. Amen. Needs revival, don't it? Amen. What's at stake? What's at stake? Let's consider it. Is it worth fighting for? All right, how about you? How about you fighting? Huh? How about you? Would you stand with me tonight?
When you're challenged, there's only one way to accept it. You either will do nothing and sit down, or you'll pick up the challenge and do something about it. Tonight you've heard a Holy Ghost-filled preacher reach out to a generation that's waiting for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And waiting idly. When the Bible says, occupy till I come. There is no discharge in this war. You have signed up. Only the trumpet that calls us a pyre will be the end of this war. Till then, we're to occupy. Every inch we gain, we are to keep it. Can the church say, keep it? Every soul, keep it. Every victory, keep it. If it means fighting, keep it. Keep the faith. Keep the unity. Keep the gospel. Keep pressing. Keep going. Keep it up till Jesus comes. Don't let him find you sitting idly by saying, no man has heard us. You have been hard and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you get to God's good heaven, you'll remember that the person who had the right to take the book out of God's hand was a person who had been slain in the battle against sin. Only scars tell the story of a soldier.
That's right. Only the scars tell.
I was in the 82nd Airborne. There were some guys there that went through the Second World War, that went through the Korean War. If you just seen them in their fatigues, you couldn't tell the story. You couldn't tell. They looked like everybody else. Just had their jump wings and their, that's all. But then when it came time to fall out in our dress uniform, the story was told. Because then they displayed every honor that they had got for every battle fought. My little platoon sergeant, which was probably fit underneath my hand, fell out, and there was medals from his pocket clear to his belt, where he went through the Second World War and the Korean War and was getting ready to look Vietnam right in the face. There was no backup in him. And it proved it when he displayed the medals that he had won for valor. You don't get a medal for running. There is no medal for cowardice, only for valor. You hear the preacher tonight? He's calling for men and women of valor to step out and back this church that's got more banners than any war machine that's ever fought.
That's right. Be
For from Calvary to now, she's a glorious church. From Calvary to now, she is a glorious church. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. Her banners are many, and her battles continue, but she shall overcome.
That's right, she said.
Blessed is he that overcometh, for he shall sit down with me in my throne, as I have sat down with my Father in his throne. There's a blessing to overcoming, not to giving in. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
They're going to get us a song, and we're going to open this altar. First, to you, my friend, who has dropped out, it's time for you to join up again. They told stories of that Second World War when men got separated from their company and they only asked the direction, which way did they go? And they walked and searched for them until they found them, because they didn't want their brothers fighting without them. They walked and searched and said, which way did they go? Which way did they go? Just point me the road they took. And they walked and searched for them till they found their company, because that's where they belong. Backslider, you don't belong out there in that world. You don't belong to that company. You need to come back to your own. Sinner friend, if you never made a decision for Jesus Christ, it's sign-up time. I told the Lord I'd make him a good soldier if he'd write my name. He'll write your name in the book tonight. You can become one of us. And you that have been idle while the war has been raging, and you have no scars, no dent in your armor, shame on you. Shame on you. You need to come forward for God and said, I've hid too long among the stuff. I need to take my place in the rank of the brave and the caring. And I need to put my life on the line for Jesus Christ. Would you step out and come now? If you feel this message has touched your heart, don't wait till somebody else. God don't want you to come just because somebody else comes. Step out and come and say, God, if you're looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, here I am. I'm coming now. To show that I mean business. I'm coming now. Who will step out? Any young men? Show your loyalty to the Lord by stepping out and coming now. That's it, son. There ought to be others of you following him. You call yourself a preacher and won't step out? Lord, I'll make you a good soldier if you write my name. Is there any others that see what the preacher has preached about tonight and saw the need of standing in the gap and making up the hedge so that God may spare our people? Won't you step up and come? Any young ladies? I said, Lord, if you're looking for a witness in this generation, I'm the one you're looking for. I'm going to live a holy life. I'm going to pick up the standard. I'm going to live it good enough that everybody will know which side I'm on. Who will step out and come? To any young ladies that will come. That's it, sis. Come right on. If you have to come by yourself, come right on. Nobody else will go. Come right on. That's it, young ladies. This battle includes you. Will one day include your children and your family. Anybody else want to come while all of these are coming? You want to come and say, I can't stand idle by anymore. The devil's wrecking my home. He's trying to take my children. The trumpet has sounded tonight from Brother Webb. A sound of war. Who will come and pick up the cause?
I've been listed as a soldier in this mighty army band. I'm marching out to battle with my weapon in my hand. Heard the captain give the order. There will be no retreat.